2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so the consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. Blessed is its preached. Lord, you've instructed. Lord, you've charged me to preach the word. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We ask God that it would do its work, Lord. Thank you for the power of it, the sharpness of it, Lord, the life that's in it. I pray, Lord, that each and every person will be given what they need from the Scriptures today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. We are going to teach a lesson this morning. I want you to listen very carefully because I believe that it's very important for each of us in our development as Christians to learn how to biblically comfort others. And so I'm going to speak on this subject, learning to bring comfort to others, learning to bring comfort to others. We're getting ready to wind down another year. We're not that far, folks. Before 2007, calendars will have to be replaced. The last page of the calendar is about to be turned, our monthly calendars, and pretty soon we'll have to go shopping and get some more. And 2008 will be here. And I couldn't help but think, as I was meditating, praying over the message this morning, in 2007, how many times different people in our church have needed comfort. And I always then think ahead of the new year, and I'll be honest with you, I'm very, very glad that God does not tell us much about tomorrow. I'm glad that God just allows us to focus and live one day at a time. Folks, one day at a time is enough. Amen. And if we knew everything that was going to happen in the next year, if we did have some crystal ball and we could look ahead, I think we wouldn't, once we knew, we would be sorry that we knew. And God never intended that. And there's no way to know that. So praise the Lord. But I guess my thought was this. I wonder how many of us in the upcoming year will need special comfort? Special comfort. It's just unpredictable. Life is so unpredictable. And I will guarantee you this. Everybody in this room in the next year will need one of two things. You'll need comfort, or you will need to know how to give comfort to someone else. Sometimes it's not you that needs the comfort. It's a family member. Sometimes it's not you that needs comfort, it's a close friend. And we ought to take a minute and learn how to comfort each other. I just quickly, it's amazing how things transpire. I walked in the office this morning and there was a thank you note. And by the way, is Mrs. Bowen-Shin, maybe you can help me with this, but is Bridget or Briley in the service this morning at all? Okay. Some of you have heard about this, and Bridget and Briley ride the Duggar bus. They came because of their home circumstance. They come every other week, and their mother lost a three-month-old infant just this past week. Bradley Williams was his name. Mrs. Bovenshin, they ride faithfully. Like I said, every other week they come faithfully, and she stopped me last week and said, Brother Jerry, would it be all right if I called, I think, and said if we could, I could call a few ladies and we could put some food together. The family doesn't have much, and provide a meal. And I said, absolutely, please, please do that. Brother Bo, I believe, did you go to the viewing? And let me just say this. Thank God for you bus captains. I mean this. You know, to a certain extent, I hope you understand what I'm saying. They know these families better than I know these families. They're in their homes every week. A lot of times come closer to pastoring them than I come to pastoring them. And by the way, that's okay. That's okay. It's one of the things I tried to teach in these past summers of Wednesday nights is this. You know, folks, we're not here to create dependent people. We're here, and this is why I'm teaching this morning. We're here to teach you to not just be a discipler, a disciplee, but a discipler. And so I think it's important. I think that's good. But a kind thank you note addressed to the church for the food and prayers. And here, who would have imagined? I mean, a month ago. Who would have imagined? A month ago, this child was 2 months old, and parents were joyful, and a new life is in a home, and all of a sudden, one day, one moment, everything changes. And somebody needs to know how to comfort this dear lady. Somebody needs to know how to comfort these children. Are you listening to me? And by the way, it's all of our jobs. It is all of our jobs. Especially those people that God allows you to interact with or to be close to. It's all of our jobs. I was talking to Bob and Kim. They came in the office. I was asking about how Bethany was. I missed her, and she ended up flying back before I got home and all of that. And she had a friend. His name was Mark, right? And he had come up for Thanksgiving also. And he attends Crown College, and he drove up. And Bobby was telling me, he said, on his way up, he got a phone call, and a young man that he played ball with and grew up with and went to school with and was real close friends to was killed the evening before, the night before. And on his way up, he'd gotten news about that. And he was visibly upset. When he got the news, he was visibly upset a few times during his visit. And, he did it privately, but sometimes he'd have to leave the room to go outside. And Bob told me, he said there was one point where he'd been outside for some time, and I went out there and I spent some time talking to him. You know what Bob needed at that moment? He needed what we all need. Every person in this room will have times where we are called upon to be the one that gives comfort to someone. To give comfort to someone else. And so I think that the Bible has a wonderful lesson for us, a wonderful outline, some wonderful teachings to teach us on how to comfort others. Let me just start out by saying this. Can we look back at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1? And we're not going to teach and go through just this portion of scripture. We're using this as a springboard, but we want to establish a couple things from this scripture. Number one, let me just give you a couple thoughts in introduction. Don't forget that God is the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort. If you say to me, Brother Jerry, I want you to go comfort this person, but you can't speak of God, do you realize you've just given me an impossible task? Do you know that God has the market cornered on comfort? You realize there's no comfort outside of God? Let me share with you a conversation I had this morning when I went to do Delbert's funeral. I talked to Rob Moore. Rob Moore is the man who manages the Moore Funeral Home in Brazil, Indiana. And we went over, I met with him in his office for a few minutes to go over the service and to get an obituary and to chat with him for a few minutes. And we got to talking, and he was telling me how grateful he was that I was there and how comforting it is to have a preacher. By the way, he shared something with me. He said that more and more they're being called upon to provide funeral services that exclude any mention of God, that exclude any reading of the Bible, that exclude any prayer. Matter of fact, folks, this is something that's starting. You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear more and more about it. But they do not want preachers to come and do funerals. There's a whole separate group that they call celebrants. Celebrants. You realize there's been over 1,200 certified, licensed celebrants in the United States in the past year. Over 1,200 men or women that have gone through a study course and been certified and licensed as a celebrant. Now, what's a celebrant, Brother Jerry? A celebrant, and I will just tell you, I pulled some information on them, but this movement began 30 years ago in Australia and New Zealand. International organization has performed over 1 million wedding ceremonies throughout the world, and it's now become very popular among diverse cultures and people of North America. Celebrants officiate at virtually every life event for individuals, couples, families, and organizations, with a focus on custom-made ceremonies to reflect the needs, beliefs, and values from all walks of life. The life cycle ceremonies that celebrants specialize in are weddings, vow renewals, commitments, divorce celebrations, baby blessings and namings, coming of age, rites of passage, survivor celebrations, seasonal and earth-based ceremonies, retirements, family reunions, celebrations of life, memorials, funerals, and corporate and civic and non-profit meetings. Now, this is what they do, folks. Funeral celebrants are equipped to provide secular or quasi-secular funeral services, memorial service, or celebrations of life for the growing population in this country who are not affiliated with a church or a clergy person. And what that means is basically they don't want God mentioned. They don't want scriptures read. They don't want prayer. They want no religious containment whatsoever. And you can agree with him or disagree with him, and I'm not picking on Mr. Moore. But his wife, because they were getting so many of these, went and took this class and is one of these licensed celebrants. Now, I wish we had Christian funeral homes. I will tell you, if I was a Christian and I owned a funeral home, if somebody wanted a non-Christian funeral, I would refer them to someone else. I will say this. You say, well, Brother Jerry, not everybody believes that. Folks, listen to me. If you're going to bring comfort, then you have to bring in God. Because the Bible says God is the God of all comfort. That's His area of expertise. And to decide that we're going to bring a group of people together and never pray, never read the Scriptures, never mention God, and we can have a pretend service where we use, you know, read poems and sing songs and say speeches and pretend to comfort. But it'll all be a pretense. You see, because if you look at this word comfort in the Bible, the word comfort itself has the idea inside of it of the lifting of a burden. If someone needs comforted, what that means is if there's a burden that's come upon them, and somebody that comes along and knows how to bring comfort gives them things that helps them to lift that burden. And folks, listen, God is a burden-lifting God. And you're not going to be comforted outside of God. You can fool yourself, you can gather together, you can do your thing, you can say your poems, you can make your speeches, but I promise you, everyone that walks in with a burden will walk out with a burden, because only God can lift burdens. So, we learn and try to learn to bring comfort to others. Brother Jerry, how can we learn this? Well, let's go back to our text here. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Anybody want to say amen there? You ever received the comfort of Almighty God during a time of testing, trial, or tribulation? "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Why? "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." I hope that didn't confuse you. The people that are the best at comforting someone are those that have received comfort from Almighty God. And what they do is this: if I need to comfort somebody, I go back and reference my life, and I see times when I was going through tribulation, and I watch how God comforted me, and I learn from what God did in my life, and I turn around and I share that with the person that he's comforted at that point. And by the way, that's one of the reasons that trials are necessary and tribulations are necessary. That's one of the reasons God does allow some things that sometimes we don't understand to come into our life, because what it does, it allows us to receive comfort from God, and then as we receive that and we see how God comforted us, we can turn around and we can mimic God, if you'll let me say that. Is that being unfair to the Scriptures here? We can mimic God. We can do for someone else what God did for us. And so you say, well, Brother Jerry, can't God comfort that person also? Yes, and He will. But isn't it also good to not just receive comfort vertically, but to receive comfort horizontally from brothers and sisters in Christ around us? So let's learn this morning how God comforts us. Let's be reminded, let's look in the Scriptures and see the tools that God uses to comfort us. And then next time somebody needs comforting, let's pull out these tools. Let's share these truths with them so that they can receive comfort also. Let me start first of all by having you turn. By the way, we're going to, like I said, almost do a Bible study, so we're going to have you use your Bible some this morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 18. I'm going to share five ways that God comforts us. This won't take long, and I promise you, if you remember these five truths, you will become, I think, very good at learning to comfort others. How does God comfort you? Brother Jerry, when you went through trials, when you went through tribulations, when you were asked to carry burdens, how did God comfort you? How did you receive comfort from God? Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 18. If you'll notice that, we're going to read this story about a woman that is healed. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. I love this. On the way to helping somebody, Jesus helped somebody. Can I share that with you? On the way to helping somebody, Jesus helped somebody. And it's kind of fun when it ends up being that way. You know, we ought to be so much in the helping business and the encouraging business and the comforting business that on our way to helping someone, we can find somebody to help. And that's a good way to pass the time while you're on your way. Because we see this in verse 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good what? Comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now let me just share this with you. First of all, a holy conversion brings comfort. Folks, this is the starting point. You know, it's almost impossible to bring comfort into the life of a person if they've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me say that again. One of the biggest challenges that I face as a preacher is times when I get a call on the phone and they say, in essence, Preacher, we want you to show up and we want you to preach a funeral and we want you to bring comfort to people who are not saved. Now, how do you do that, Brother Jerry? Yes, I can. But you see, the first source of comfort comes through a holy conversion. Now, I know that this story is talking about a woman that was healed from a real physical disease. But folks, there's a spiritual lesson here. You see, all of us have a blood infection. All of us have a tainted blood. All of us have a blood problem. It started in Adam's veins and Eve's veins, and it's passed down through all humanity. It's called sin. But you know what? When we realize we have that problem, and we've gone, as this woman did, for 12 years to everybody who thought they could fix it, and it never got fixed, and that's what this world's doing. They're going to drugs, and they're saying, fix my sin problem, fix my blood problem, and drugs doesn't fix it, it just makes it worse. So they go to alcohol, then they go to immorality, then they go to the nightclub scene, then they go to this, and they go to spiritualism, and they even try religion, maybe, but they've never tried Jesus. They've never found the cure. And finally, after they've gone through all the other things and nothing's made it right, one day somebody says something about Jesus, and if you just but touch Him, you can be healed. And they come to Jesus Christ, and they kneel as this woman did and reached out and touched Him. And you know what? She was healed from that day forth, and she received comfort because of her conversion. I like this statement. Let's remind ourselves of this. He says in this verse, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Folks, salvation is by grace through faith and that alone. And anybody tries to tell you that you have to do something to be saved, I know this is a Baptist cry. I know you've heard this and said, Brother Jerry, you sound like a broken record. Good. I want to say this so many times that even the littlest child, everybody that's brought it to this church, down the road, if somebody comes to them and says, listen, you know what, I'm glad you prayed and received Jesus, but you know what, until you do this, you're not saved. I want them to know in their hearts, listen, that person's a liar. That person's not telling me the truth. Jesus said that it's by grace, it's by the graciousness of God, it's by faith alone, and that's how you're saved. If you've never been saved, can I say this to you? As much as I would like to offer you comfort for the tribulations and trials and hardships of life, it is well nigh an impossibility for you to receive comfort, because comfort must come from God. That's why there's so many miserable people. That's why there's so many broken-hearted people. That's why everybody in the world seems to be on self-destruct mode. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. And they can't find comfort. They can't find help. They can't find healing. The burden just gets heavier and heavier, and they don't get one burden lifted and another one's put on, and they can't get that one lifted and another one's put on. Both people are having emotional breakdowns and mental breakdowns and committed suicide, and some people are literally living their life. You say, Brother Jerry, I just don't understand this mess. I don't understand. Listen, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to do anything that's going to turn off their brain for a few hours so they don't have to deal with all of these things that they're trying to carry. Now, let me just say this. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no idea what comfort is, because comfort is it cannot be had outside of God. So, Brother Jerry, what do you do when you go to a funeral and nobody's there saved? You're not sure if the person's saved. Can I tell you what I do? I share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me say this, that's not always popular. It's not always popular. I could tell you stories that you can't believe. I preached the gospel. My dad, for all these years, went to funeral homes. Whether the person was saved, whether they were lost, we don't know for sure, but I'm going to tell you one thing you can be assured of, the gospel is going to be preached. Now, some funeral directors don't like that. I mean it. They don't like it. They see Jerry Ross officiating, they start grumbling. There's tension between me and them from the time I get there till the time I leave. You know what? Because they say this is their thinking, this is their rationale, and usually they're unsaved people, unsaved funeral directors. Their mentality is, preacher, you're supposed to come in here and comfort them. You're not supposed to preach Jesus to them. Hello? Hello, what you're wanting is a celebrant. I'll give you some websites. And you can have a pretend service. But you're going to have pretend comfort. And you're not going to help anybody. Because without God, there's no comfort. And the greatest way to bring comfort to a broken heart is to have them embrace the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest way to honor somebody that's passed away is to take that day and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so I think the gospel needs to be preached. Why? Because a holy conversion brings comfort. There's nothing sadder in the world than lost people at a funeral. They don't have any comfort. They sit there and fidget, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to mourn, and they don't know how to grieve. And I mean, folks, I've done a lot of them. Talk to any preacher that's preached a lot of funerals. The time you get done, you can almost tell the people that are saved and the people that are lost, you can almost walk by and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and just count them off and tell them. See, folks don't want to bring God. Even at death now, they don't want to bring God in. I stay with the casket. By the way, I've done a bunch of these. I'd never share individual stories. I'd never name names. But after we're dismissed, after I get done preaching, I always stand at the head of the casket. And the folks come by, and then the family comes and says their last goodbyes. And I've seen crazy things. I've watched lost people come and stuff beer in a casket. Stuff all kinds of things. I mean, sometimes wicked things in a casket. And you look at their eyes and they're shifting around, and the preacher being there makes them nervous. Good. But you know what? Listen, I'm not picking on them. You say, well, Brother Jerry, they're just trying to grieve in their own way. No, they're trying to grieve without God. You can grieve without God, but you can't get comfort without God. And the burden that they carried in, they're going to carry out. And until they receive Jesus Christ, they're not going to be able to, they're not going to get closure there. And so the greatest comfort, Brother Jerry, shouldn't you preach more comforting messages here at Blessed Hope? Yeah, you're right. I should preach more salvation messages. Because the greatest sermon of comfort is this. Jesus died for your sins according to the gospel. He was buried and rose again. You can have today your destination, eternal destination changed. You're on your way to hell. You can be on your way to heaven by the end of this service if you come and are willing to kneel your heart. And you know what? All of a sudden you have access to the God of all comfort. Let me take you to another portion of Scripture. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Brother Jerry, how do I comfort somebody that needs comforted? Number one, if they're not saved, give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. Well, I don't think that's the time. Well, God does. Give them the gospel. Do it graciously. Do it lovingly. But a lot of times, folks, we miss that opportunity when they are at their most tender point of life. And we say, I don't want to be inappropriate. It's not inappropriate to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who is lost. I think there's an inappropriate way to do it, but it's not inappropriate to do it in an appropriate way. Well, I hope you got that, because I'm not sure what I said. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse number 16. Number one, a holy conversion brings comfort. Number two, let me just say this quickly. The Holy Spirit brings comfort. Man, I'll tell you why. John chapter 14, verse number 16 says this, Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. I love that. I love that God chose that title for the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. Jump down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look, if you will, to chapter 15 of John and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. Chapter 16 and verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Brother Jerry, when you're going through heartaches and trials and tribulations, and you're looking back at how God comforted you, let me say this, I took comfort, number one, in the fact that I was saved. You know, just being saved brings comfort to whatever situation you're in. It brings comfort. Number two, the way that I got comfort was through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of me. Now let me say this, no matter how good you are at comforting someone, you do not have the title of comforter. That only goes to one person, that's the Holy Spirit of God. And this is why it's a lot easier to comfort someone who is saved than it is to try to comfort someone that's lost. The only way you can comfort a lost person is bring them to Jesus Christ. Because see, once you're saved, you have living inside of you the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit was introduced by Jesus to the disciples with this idea in mind, I must go away, but I will send a Comforter to you. And folks, I don't know how to put this into words. I don't know how to explain it, but I do know this, that the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, did you get this? Hey, young person that just got saved recently at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, young person that just was led to Christ maybe a few weeks ago on the bus on the way home or in Brother Charles English's Sunday school class. Let me tell you something. From the moment that you prayed and asked Jesus to save you, the Holy Spirit, that's one of the God, a member of the triune God, came and lived inside of you. God lives inside of you. He's called the Holy Spirit. And you know what one of His main jobs is? Is to comfort you in all trials, in all tribulations. You know, as a Christian, you say, Brother Jerry, how do I comfort someone who needs comforted? Let me just give you this little thought. I just hope this kind of blows your mind. I hope that you'll use this from this day forward. But I think one of the most remarkable things about the Holy Spirit is that He's omnipresent. He lives in me, but He lives in you. Now, this is hard for us to understand. And I don't mean a different Holy Spirit lives inside of me that lives inside of you. I'm talking about the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of me lives inside of you. Now, this is awesome. When I'm needing to comfort someone, and I know that they're saved, I begin to ask the Holy Spirit, and by the way, He's real easy to access because He's in me. You ever talk to the Holy Spirit? I've heard people and I teach this, and they're wrong. I'm just telling you they're wrong. They say this is the way you pray. You pray to God in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you don't ever speak to Jesus. You don't ever speak to the Holy Spirit. You pray to God. That's as unbiblical as... I don't know who ever come with that outline. It sounds cute, but it's not biblical. So, it's not. It's okay to speak to Jesus. It's okay to talk to the Holy Spirit of God. I can't imagine having the member of the Trinity that lives inside of you, in you, and He dwells in you. You believe that. You say you do. Doctrinally, you say you believe that. But you never say a word to Him? You're not allowed to? It's amazing some of the dumb things we come up with. Now, how do you pray? You pray to the Father, through the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Direct all your comments to God. Don't say anything to Jesus. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's like saying when you visit Pastor Jerry's house. Now it's Pastor Jerry, Cheryl, and it's Tabitha. So you speak to Pastor Jerry in the name of Cheryl, and just it kind of, you know, Tabitha will be floating around. But you're not allowed to talk to Mrs. Ross. You're not allowed. What are you, crazy? That's rude. Hey man, this is good for us. Hey man, every once in a while for us to bust an old Baptist bubble that needs to be bust. Some American Baptist preacher in a desperation had to come up with an outline 50 years ago, and it's been repeated too much. What's great about this is this. I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. I say, Holy Spirit, You do not only live in me. You live in that brother. You live in that lady. You live in that in those parents. You live in that little boy and that little girl if they've been saved. And Holy Spirit, You are the comforter. Would you please administer comfort to them? Just think of every Christian that knew a Christian that was going through a trial and tribulation would begin to talk to the Holy Spirit inside of them and ask Him to administer comfort to the one who needs comfort. Don't you think He would respond to that? Now, of course, He'd have to go talk to the Father first and get permission. We're wacko. But no, I think it's exciting. Listen, the minute, this will help you, the minute that you hear of someone going through a trial and tribulation, one of the things, you get a call on the prayer chain 2008. And I mean, when you put the phone down, you can't believe it. I mean, it's just tragic news. I mean, somebody in our church, listen, why don't we immediately go to the Comforter? And He's not sitting on a throne up in heaven somewhere. He's inside of each and every one of us. Why was He sent here? Jesus said, I will have to leave, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send somebody whose job, one of His primary functions is to bring comfort. So why don't we all immediately say, Dear Holy Spirit, You're not only in me, but You're in that person. And You've comforted me in times past. During times when I've received bad news, you've wrapped Yourself around me. You've held me up. You've given me strength. You helped me get clarity of thought and grace. And you, God, I need You to do that for this dear brother, to do that for this dear sister, to do that for these sweet children. And this is how you learn to bring comfort to others. Let me say this to all of you that are saints. I believe that's why it's important that you keep a good relationship between you and the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you. If I think that there's a way that the devil gets victory in Christian's life, it's this. We begin to live in such a way that grieves the Holy Spirit of God, and I believe that there are Christians who have even gone so far as to have quenched the Holy Spirit of God and His activity in their life. And by the way, that warning of quench not the Spirit was not written to lost people. It was a command given at the end of a letter to the local New Testament church. It was written to Christians. And it's such a dangerous thing. The Holy Spirit deals with our heart about our sin, and we grieve Him and grieve Him and grieve Him. We won't listen to Him. And then we even get to the point where we harden ourselves to the point where we quench His working in our life, and then all of a sudden something happens. and we need comfort, but we've quenched the comforter. Well, I want Him there to bring comfort. I just don't want Him to bring conviction. Well, He's a whole package deal. The second most miserable person at a funeral after a lost person, the second most miserable person is a backslidden Christian. And I've preached a bunch of funerals in my life. Let me just tell you, that's the truth. Lost people have the look of a lost person in their eye, and backslidden Christians have that horrible look. You know why? They're looking down in their heart for comfort. But you know what they've been saying to the Holy Spirit for months and months and months? Shut up and leave me alone. Shut. You say they don't really say that. Yes, they do in their hearts. Shut up and leave me alone. Shut up and leave me alone. Shut up and leave me alone. Okay, what's the quenching of the Holy Spirit, Brother Jerry? It's not the Holy Spirit leaving you. It's the Holy Spirit leaving you alone. And all of a sudden, now you want Him. But you know what? You told Him to shut up. You've been telling Him to shut up for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years. And all of a sudden, you're brokenhearted and you need comfort. But you've told Him to shut up. And that's why the best thing that I can tell every single one of you in this room is this. Christian, listen to me. If the Holy Spirit whispers to you during the invitation, if He whispers to you while you're in the workplace, you obey. You keep a good relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you grieve Him. Don't you quench Him in your life, because one of these days you're going to need His comfort. And so I begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring them comfort. Number three, let me give you something else. Boy, this is good. This is a great lesson if you'll take this to heart and remember it. Romans chapter number 15. Let's go there next. Romans chapter number 15 and verse 14. Romans chapter number 15. And verse 14, I'm afraid that I have the wrong scripture here. Oh, here it is, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written... Thank you, Lord, by the way. I just want to thank you for helping me out here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, comfort them feeble-minded. God's helpful to preachers. Romans 15, 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the what? Scriptures might have hope. Let me tell you something, and I hope this will help. One of the best ways you can learn to comfort someone that's going through a tough time is to share Scripture verses with them. Share Scripture verses with them. The Bible has healing power. The Bible has great power to comfort. I don't always do this, but I have, and I probably ought to do it more. But I've done this several times, as I guess the Lord has led me. But when I go to the hospital sometimes, as I'm doing my devotions in the morning, I'll find a verse and I'll type it out on a little piece of paper. And sometimes God, you ever pray this when you're doing your morning devotions? God, give me something from your word today. Isn't it good when you get something from the word of God? Here's something neat to pray before you do your devotions. God, give me something from your word, and give me something that somebody else needs. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you read a verse and the Holy Spirit brings to your mind a person and you say, so-and-so needs to hear that verse? I'm not talking about somebody in wicked sin that you want to just get a verse to. I'm talking about someone that's going through a heartache. And you can write out that verse, type out that verse, and cut it out on a piece of paper. And next time you listen, stick it in your wallet, stick it in your purse. Next time you see him, say, hey, I was reading the Bible the other day, and here, I just want to give you this. The Lord spoke to my heart and brought you to my mind when I was reading the Bible. I think that verse will be a blessing to you. You know what? They'll open that up, and you know what they'll get? Listen, comfort. I tell you, there's been times when I've gone to the hospital. I remember making hospital visits with my dad, and my dad would open the Bible and he'd read Scripture to people. You know why? He was comforting them. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to meet with people that are going through a tough time and a terrible loss. And Brother Jerry, what do you say? I don't know what to say. Here's what you say. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. You know what? If you quote scripture, it's hard to say the wrong thing. Brother Jerry, when you preach a funeral, when you walk up to the podium, what's the first words that usually come out of your mouth? The Word of God! Brother Jerry, I've got a heartache. I need comfort. Let me tell you what the devil will say. He'll say, you know what, you're grieving too much to read the Bible. You just can't read the Bible. You know why? He doesn't want you to get comfort. Listen, you're going through a heartache. It's not time to read less Bible. It's time to read more Bible. Can I suggest a book to you? If you're going through a time of heartache, can I have you read the Psalms? How many of you in this room have found strength in the book of the Psalms during times of heartache? Amen. Look around you. Look around. You know, the devil doesn't want you in that book. You know why? He wants you tore up. He wants you bitter. He doesn't want you helped. He doesn't want you healed. He doesn't want that burden lifted. He wants that burden to crush you. I don't care how much you hurt, how much you ache. You get this old book and you get in a quiet place and you open it up in the book of Psalms and say, where? Just flop it open. Just flop it open in Psalms and start reading. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will take you to some verses that will begin to comfort your heart and give you strength and give you healing and give you help. I promise you, folks, it works. Number four. How else do you comfort people? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother. Verse number 13. First Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort who? One another with these words. Brother Jerry, when you're going through times of trial and tribulation, how did God comfort you? Well, you know what? There was comfort that came to me just because I was saved. There was comfort that came to me because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. There's comfort that I found when I opened the Bible and said, Lord, I've got to have some healing. I've got to have some help and just begin to read. But can I say this? One of the greatest doctrines that brings comfort to people that need comforting is the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times I've gone to the hospital to try to comfort someone, and have you been there? And instead of you comforting them or feel like you did a very good job, they comfort you. I can tell you that it's a privilege to stand beside the bed, the deathbed of a dying Christian, and watch God give them victory. And you know what? I can't tell you how many times I didn't bring it up. They brought it up. And they begin to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I know the doctor says I don't have long, but maybe Jesus will come back. Have you ever said that? Have you ever been fighting through some trials and tribulations and uttered under your breath, even so come quickly? And you know what? The promise, the hope, the blessed hope that Jesus might come just gets you through another day. And let me say this, folks. This isn't no fairy tale. He is coming one of these days. The world laughs at it. They scoff at it. We all know that. We've all heard them. But I'm saying this, one of these days Jesus is going to interrupt everything going on in this world, and a bunch of born-again people are going to disappear, and the world's going to be scratching their head as they're plunged into the tribulation period. And if you're not saved, I just get saved today because we want you to come with us. I'm not talking about some alien ship hiding behind a planet, and I'm not telling you to put on Nikes and drink Kool-Aid. I'm telling you that this is real, it's true, that Jesus Christ is going to interrupt life one of these days. The trump's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know what? That brings comfort. You know why you heard amens? You know why you've seen some smiles break out just then? Because we all want it to happen. And there's comfort in the very thought of it. I say this a lot, but let me just say this. I appreciate Brother Klein. He's got these letters out and put them up there for us. I appreciate those of you that were there in the naming of this church, and that meeting in a living room down in Midland. And God led you to name this church Blessed Hope. You know, I see that name constantly. I'm in the office. I'm around here. I see it more than most of you. But I pray that every time you see the name of this church or hear it spoke, you think of the Blessed Hope. And that's just the promise that Jesus Christ is going to come back. Brother Jerry, I'm carrying some burdens. I know Jesus is coming back, though. Hang in there. Brother Jerry, there's days when they're heavy. I know, but He's coming back. He's coming back. Don't you want to be found faithful when He shows up? He's coming back. You can make it through today. You can make it through tomorrow. You can make it through the next day. Listen, one of these days He's going to interrupt this mess. He's going to come get us. Hang in there. You don't want to fall away the day before He comes. You don't want to quit the day before He comes. You don't want to become a turncoat the day before He comes. I know it's hard. Hang in there. Don't worry. He's going to rescue us out of this mess one of these days. Amen. Man, I'm encouraged. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to show you one more scripture and then we'll close. Look at Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. We're right on schedule. We're right on time, folks. Luke chapter 16. Don't lose this now. Little Jerry, I'm going to get the news that one of my friends, one of my family members, somebody in the church has a heartache. I know God's going to comfort them, but I want to comfort them. How do I do it? First of all, if they're not saved, if somebody in your family's not saved, get the gospel to them. Number two, begin to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to bring them comfort. Number three, share with them. Begin to search the Scriptures and get some verses and put it in their hand. Shove it in their hand and say, I prayed for you. And God gave me these verses and I hope they help. And I promise you, they will help you. Number four, begin to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. By the way, hang around a casket. Hang around a casket as long as I've hung around caskets. Listen to how many times somebody comes through and encourages somebody with either a thought of the second coming of Jesus Christ or a comment about heaven. About heaven. Now look at Luke. I'm going to take you to a strange portion of Scripture, but I'm there for a reason. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and suffered and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the death of a Christian. That's why the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So, listen, if you've got to save a loved one and they die, what we do is we see the visible, we don't see the invisible. But the invisible is just as real as the visible. And God created both the visible and the invisible, and there's something supernatural happening around the deathbed of a saint of God. And it's not a lonely journey they take. They're escorted into the presence of Almighty God by His holy angels. From the moment they lift up celestial eyes, they're in the presence of the supernatural and they're being ushered up to God. But notice this, it says, the rich man also died and was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, isn't that a drastic comparison? I need to stop here. Look up here. I need to stop here. I don't know who's here and who's not. I don't know if you're saved or not. Folks, listen to me. What you just read is a reality. When we die, we're going to either be taken by the angels into the presence of God or we're going to lift up our eyes in hell being in torment. We need to get over our bashfulness. We need to just start sharing the gospel with everybody we can share it with. Little Jerry, if I try to share the gospel with one of my family members, I'll just make them mad and scare them off. Where are you going to scare them? To hell number two, hell number three, hell number four? Sure, do it in grace. Do it with grace. Sure, do it with love. But share the gospel with them. Share the gospel with them. I've caught a lot of tears at a casket site from Christians who was always going to share the gospel with them but never got around to it. Share the gospel with them. Okay? He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Now notice this verse. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is what? comforted. Comforted in thou art tormented. Brother dear, I had a dear, sweet loved one that meant the world to me. And here's what we say. God took him. Praise God for that. I miss him. I know you miss him. It's hard. I know it's hard. Do you realize that they are receiving comfort right now in the presence of Almighty God? All of the comfort that, folks, we try to give to each other and we try to receive, it has its limitations because of this sin-cursed world. But you realize there is a place, one of these days, where comfort will be unhindered and unlimited, and every single heartache will be resolved. Every sadness will be erased. Every tear will be dried. And so when you're trying to comfort someone, it's always good to talk about a place called heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. The Father waits over the way. Prepare us a dwelling place there. And the sweet, by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Do you ever long for it? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever wonder about it? I'm getting at a strange age. You know, once you turn 46, you might as well say 50. You know, I'm still kind of bitter over this last birthday. But you know what? I've seen a lot here. Honestly, you get to be 46 years old, and I've seen a lot of what this world is. I've been to quite a few different places. I've seen some things. There's some things I haven't, but there's a lot I've seen. And you get to the point where, yeah, you can go see new places, but they're just a little bit different variation of this, that, or the other. And there comes a time where you say, you know what, I've seen about everything that this world has. I'd sure like to see what it doesn't. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we open our eyes in heaven? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we are ushered into the presence of Almighty God? It's going to be awesome. There's nothing in this world that can compare to it. And so when you go to comfort someone, I know what they need, Brother Jerry. They need a celebrate. No, they don't. They need God. They need God's people. So how do you comfort someone? You share the gospel with. How do you comfort a saved person? You ask the Holy Spirit to begin to comfort them. You share Scripture with them. You remind them of the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you also begin to talk about heaven. If you will do those things, I promise you, great comfort will come to that person's life. How learning to bring comfort to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, there will be times in the future we'll need comfort, and there'll be times, Lord, when we're called upon to comfort someone else. And Lord, I thank you that you have shown us, Lord, through your example, how you bring comfort to our hearts. I pray that we would simply mimic that, pass that along. I pray that we could be a help to those that are hurting around us. Thank you that you're a God of all comforts. Thank you, God, that you lift the burdens. Thank you, God, that you give us strength. Thank you, God, for the promise of your coming, for the Holy Scriptures, for the place that you're preparing for us. Lord, we look forward to all these things with great anticipation. But Lord, meanwhile, we've got to live today and tomorrow and next week. Give us strength. Give us strength. Two quick questions real quickly. Number one, Brother Jerry, I needed to hear that because I'm in a place right now where I am in need of comfort. And I needed that. I needed comfort. Would you raise your hand? I needed to hear that because I needed the comfort that brought me. Put your hands down. I say, Brother Jerry, while you were teaching that, somebody came to mind that's hurting. Please pray that I'll be able to help bring some comfort into their life. Would you raise your hand? God, you see these hands. Bless each one. I pray that you'll minister to us during the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Everyone standing.